The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. Good evening. This is Brother Davis coming to you here at Candle Radio by way of Black Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our messenger. Black Talk Radio allows this information to come into our homes and unites our thought process with information so that we can become not only better people, but we can become better as a humanity. We'd like you to consider contributing to Black Talk Radio, because that is the vehicle in which is allowing us to achieve some of the things that we're able to do right here on our show. And that's not taking away from other programmings that are on beyond and before our show, because there's Black Talk Radio offers a plethora of information that fits a need in our community. Now, don't forget, if you want to call in tonight, you can call in. The number is 641-715-3660, and the code is 549032. If you want to get into the cube, it's *61. Please bear with me tonight. I'm trying to be at 100%, but I'm really about 60-65%, but that's fine, because in reality, the message needs to get out there. For those of you who don't know, tonight's show is going to be about meditation. Now, a lot of people are wondering the role that meditation plays. Well, I don't mind telling you, but in order for you to get the true understanding of why meditation plays a role, you have to see yourself beyond yourself. Now, what do I mean by that? What if you had the ability to achieve things that you never thought possible because of your educational process? What if they told you that you could not do, and you begin to believe you cannot do what you were born to do? But if you did not know you were born to do that thing that it is that you want to do, you would never achieve to get to that point, because you were always told you could not do it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you were told that for a purpose. And the reason why you were told that for a purpose is because there's so many things in your history that cannot be explained through the natural reasoning process, that they did not want you to become involved in adventuring into areas of which they have no control. What is the areas they have no control? One of the areas they have no control is self. That's why some of the shows that I've been having has been placing so much emphasis on self. And the reason why the emphasis is placed on self is because I have to move you to a place in which you're comfortable seeing yourself as being one, a part of a whole. Now, what does that mean? That means if you buy a dozen of eggs and you pull out that one egg, and that one egg is the egg you use that day, but the next day you may decide to use three eggs, but yet the one is still part of the whole. So as we continue to venture forth in this show tonight, I'm going to demonstrate to you how to open doors to make your one a greater part of the whole. And one of the main things about that is that we're going to go into areas which cannot be entered into through someone else. The only person who can enter that area is you, and the only person who can get you allow into that area will only be coming through you. So in order to come through you, it must be a thought or a rationale. And in order for us to be able to maximize that, we have to work from the area of basic principles. One basic principle that we must understand is that we are born human, but When I say we're born human, we have all the attributes of everything else that is born. Okay? Now, when I say everything else that is born, I'm not talking about other humans. I'm talking about all animals in nature. They're born in a state in which they have to follow the example to learn the process to grow. Okay? So if you're a squirrel, you'll follow the examples of the squirrels that you're under to learn how a squirrel survives. Okay? If you're a fox, you follow the examples that you are under to learn how a fox survives. Well, the thing with being human, when you're born, you follow the examples that you are under in order to evolve into a better human. But, now let's face it, we may want to think that we have the best examples, but many times we do not. And our examples might have been victimized in some way prior to our even understanding the process that allows them to introduce you to something that won't be good for you, but may be good to know as you grow older, but it may not be good for you now. Perfect example. Let me use my own life. When I was coming up, my mother and father, they worked hard, but one of the things that the men did at that time, and it wasn't just exclusively to my father, but they were heavy drinkers. Absolutely. On the weekend when they got their paycheck and they paid all their bills, they managed to have a few dollars left so that they can go out and maybe go to the clubs and shoot pool or have hunting clubs and go out hunting. But this is how they spent their time. Now, that may not have been productive for you to see as a child. Now, why? Because you take on this systematically. Now, some aspects of science call that generational behavior. And it's only generational because you pick it up as you grow up, okay? As you grow up, you see it one stage when you're 3 years old, you see it a different stage when you're 10 years old, and you see it another different stage when you're 16 years old. And the reason why is because your view of clarity becomes more mature as you age. And we have to also understand we've been brought up under the Westernism. And there's certain aspects of Westernism that just never benefited us. We had to go through the process, but they never benefited us. Now, I'll give you a perfect example of that, is in Westernism, they celebrate holidays for no reason at all. Okay? Now, we all were taught in school that Columbus discovered America. But as you matured and grew up, you realized Columbus didn't discover America, but yet they have a Columbus Day. That is what's called indwelled deception. Now, if you haven't heard that before, that means that it was a deception that was placed in a position to be a part of your environment indwelling as you grew. So you accepted that. But as you grew older, you began to realize that was all a deception anyway. But yet and still in America, they still practice these things. And that's just one example. If you go to all of the holidays, you'll find there is some ritualisticism behind it that has nothing to do with the holiday itself, that even shows the deception of the holiday, but yet they still have it. As a matter of fact, since I'm bringing that up, the last holiday was, what's the Irish? St. Patrick's Day. I took my wife out to dinner, to breakfast, matter of fact. And at breakfast, we said, okay, you got the specialty practice? Let me see, because everybody asked for the breakfast specials. Oh, guess what they told us? They told us that they didn't have the breakfast special practice on holidays. I said, well, what holiday is it? Oh, it's St. Patrick's Day. I said, wait a minute. We're in a Greek restaurant, and you're telling me that this St. Patrick's Day is a holiday and nothing's closed. You see, they use the deception to their advantage, and we have to understand there's a reason for that. Now, how does this play a role in a show about meditation? See, in reality, you have been given so many deceptions that we have to learn how to separate the chaff from the wheat, so that the chaff can be discarded and the wheat can be put through the nutritional process. So if you know that there's no such thing as a Columbus Day in reality, why would you celebrate? That's the same way with Thanksgiving. What do we have to be thankful about? But yet, it's a national holiday. I'm not saying don't benefit from that holiday from the position of your work. But I'm saying you must have an understanding of what it is that you do, because if not, you become part of that deception. And see, one thing about that is that you begin to pass this through family like it's a tradition. And really, what it is a deception. So that deception grows in its purpose. But yet, your children come along later and say, well, why do we do this if you know that? And you look at them and say, well, it's a tradition. Well, the reason why that word came about was to keep the deception going. But a lot of people don't think of it that way. The reason why you won't think of it that way is because it serves a purpose at the time for those people who benefit from it. Perfect example. How many of you remember when you seen Christmas decorations and that would all come up, be shown up in stores after the Thanksgiving holiday? And that's when you'll start seeing them really starting to blow up stores. Well, that's a deception. Now they do it late October, early November. You're seeing Christmas stuff because they want to run their program above your understanding of the operation of time. And see, here in the United States, a lot of people base what they're growing in reference to jobs or whatever, in reference to time, holiday time. When am I have off? When am I do this? And they know that. The sad part about it is that even although they know it, they don't see the residual effect that it's having on them long term. This is what makes self so unique. Because self now can be able to divide itself from that. You know the truth behind it. If you want to celebrate it, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. But you're making a decision based on self. And your self has ideologies. Okay? And the reason why you have ideologies is because now you have become responsible for your thought process. It's a powerful thing to know that you are in control of your own thoughts. That's why you've been always told all your life, oh, we're emotional people. We're not emotional people. Emotion is something that is controlled by the self. And if the self relinquishes that responsibility, then absolutely you can be whatever they call you, because you already relinquished that responsibility of controlling that which is emotion in your life. And some people say, you can't control emotion. Yes, you can. That's why we have been led to this point here, where we can literally take our time and work on ourselves. And that's what meditation is. It allows you to take an idea of just cultivating in your subconscious the change you want in your character. You see, a lot of people talk about, well, you know, I'm gonna stop smoking. They've been smoking for 15 years. It'd be a great idea to stop smoking. But if your conscious is ready to start, that's one thing. But you're only communicating with your conscious. Meditation allows you to communicate with your subconscious. And a lot of Westernism fears people of melanin commuting with their subconscious. Why? That's interesting. Interesting question. Because with your subconscious, you can bring to light, to your conscious, those things that have been kept secret in your ancestral past. Well, that may seem a little far-fetched to you, so let me break it down to you like this. You have people that went on before you, that they always try to tell you, oh, they're going to the afterlife. You'll see them one day. Well, they're doing that to program your thinking process. You see, we are energy spirits. We don't die, we transform. You see, death is not like you have been taught. You hear people talking all the time about, oh, he was called by the Lord. Well, in reality, no, he wasn't. You've gone to them funerals and say, well, now he's at home with the Lord. This person was a demon in life. So how could they be at home with the Lord? We have to learn to separate the deceptions from the truths that we know. And in doing so, we have to become identifiable with an area in which we have total control, and we can literally take the knowledge that we possess as in our conscious and be able to convey it in our subconscious. Now, a lot of people are probably saying, well, how do you do that? Well, see, when you go to sleep at night, you render all of your earthly attributes to your sleep. So in sleep, you don't have any will because you're going through the dream process. But when you meditate, you still have a will. Absolutely. And when you become very well in meditation, you will find that you can reach levels that are far beyond your ability to imagine. You can speak to ancestors that you never, never thought would ever happen. And the reason being is because you're doing it through what is called mediumistic trance. Absolutely. Now let me give you a little history of mediumistic trance. You see, we as a people have always been spiritual. Our spirituality was a part of our way of life. I mean, just as you got up in the morning and you washed up and you prepared to go to work, that was part of your makeup. So you might get up in the morning, you might meditate, you greet the elders and go out and do your share of contributing to breakfast and then go out and start your day. And whatever purpose you served in the community was all connected to your spiritual nature. Because there was only one set of rules. And everybody followed that set of rules. That's why there were no great wars during the 6,000 years of what's called calm civilization. Now, did I say there wasn't any confrontations? No, there were confrontations. But the reward of a man's day was his peace at the end of it. The reward at the woman's day was their peace at the end of it. And that peace might have been spent all by themselves, or they might have been with their family. No one can determine what your peace is. That's what makes self so important in the process. We live in a time where you, whether you know it or not, in the last 10 years, we've been in a war every year. And, you know, war is not a common practice. Oh, they want you to think it is. But when you think about it as an individual, what is it worth going out and submitting other people's lives for to the point of death? I mean, what is so important that we cannot come to common ground through an exchange of ideas or to trade? You see, that's what African people did for that 6,000 years prior to the European fingerprint. Traveled all around the world. Absolutely. And we did trade all over the world, and we lived in every country in the world. Absolutely. Without major conflict. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there was not people who did not have a problem with the fact that, well, we did such good traders and everything, and they want to be able to migrate here. That, well, they weren't trying to build colonies and take over. See, there's a difference in the concepts. And that's why I always use the phrase, we are not our oppressors. Because we do not have an oppressive philosophy. Okay, so I'm giving you all of this here so you understand the importance of self-operating on its individual level. Because when self operates on its individual level, that individual growth can be transformed to so much more, so much greater. That's why, that is absolutely why meditation is not a great idea here in the West. Countries are doing it all over the world, but not here in the West. In the West, they spoke of it, but not practiced. There are countries all over the world that practice meditation every day. And they have become better for it. And they have less wars. And the reason why they have less wars is because they reached a stage in which everybody has a right to be an individual. And they have a right to peace. And that may sound strange to some of you, but that is a right that you have being a human. You were born at a time when you could grow beyond the animal stage. Now, why do I say the animal stage? Because as a human, you're born in the animal stage. See, just like the animals have to watch their examples, that's what you had to do. Some of the examples were good and some of them were bad. And we have to accept that. But as we grow, we begin to see ourselves developing. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes we didn't even like that. But depending on the power of our examples and the path on which we choose, literally, you could be victimized by the fact that you wanted to be in a certain company. So you were willing to make sacrifices to be in that company. See, these are the things that Westernism teaches. Westernism wants you to be in gang. Oh, yeah. And they want you to want money. Because if you want money, that's something that they can place a value on. And if they can place a value on it, and you follow that value, then guess what? That means that they know sooner or later they can find your price. But just think, what if you didn't want money? What if that sort of thing was not important to you? Then the first thing they're going to do is wonder, what are we going to have to do to get or convince this person of what where our terms are? And these things are not unusual. But when you value something to the degree that you will do something else, and which is what they made money into, then you can be manipulated. And we see this all over. Now, when I say we can be manipulated, that's the kind word. And the reason why I'm saying it's the kind word is because, literally, what has happened is that you've been bought off. You have been corrupted. So don't be surprised. It happens every day to a lot of people. But when you go into that state of self, you have a right to evaluate the decisions you made that day. You see, I have a book that tells me things that I can and cannot do. And it only tells me the things that I can and cannot do because it literally lets me know what is good and what is evil. And see, when you know what is good and what is evil, then you have a balance. Society today is trying to take away that balance. They want you to see evil as good and good as evil. Matter of fact, they got a show, a car commercial on TV. It happened this afternoon, where the commercial tells you we need villains in the world. I mean, think about that for a minute. We need villains in the world. Well, if there's a world of villains, you have no peace. And they know exactly what they're doing. So we can't be fall victim to the way they want to dictate to us. There is a concept of what is good for us. And how do we do that? First of all, we have to learn how to get to our areas of control. You can't do that at a bus station. People interfere with you. You can't do that in a train station. People interfere with you. Nowadays, you can't even do it in your car because people interfere with you. You got to find that spot that is comfortable for you where you can literally close your eyes and feel safe. There is a concept of what is good. Build your own psychological defenses in your circumstance. Now, I know some of you are saying to yourself, how do you build psychological defenses? Well, see, we've been so bombarded with Westernism that we fail to realize that we can build psychological defense. Do you realize that right now, in America, we have been given so many drugs, from controlled substance to uncontrolled substance, and none of them have been bought into this country by us, but they're created and they're all in our communities. They're taking away your responsibility to think for yourself. And they know it. So we've got to examine what we're going to do about it and the course of action that we could take to make better people of ourselves. And the reason why is because when you surrender yourself and your will, and you allow yourself to be victimized by what someone else says, then literally you fall under what's called their authority. And what if their authority has no boundaries? Did you do it just because they're going to do it? Because that's what we've been doing here in America. We've been following the most deceptive system, the most corrupt system, and the system that now is saying to us, this is how it's going to be, whether you like it or not. Like you have no say. And they programmed everything so you could feel like you have to submit. If you watch TV, you could feel like you have to submit. If you listen to cheap radio, what's cheap radio? Cheap radio is nothing but giving you rump shaker talk, politics talk. That's what you call season. Well, politics talk is good for a period of time of politics. But believe me, these people have an agenda. So what they're telling you in politics talk is that we like to know how you feel, but we really don't care. But listen to anyway. Contact your congressman as soon as you call. What do you get? A busy signal or a recording. We got to be more responsible. So that responsibility must start with us in us. And at this point, I want to remind you that you can feel free to call in with your questions. The number to call in is 641-715-3660. And the code to get in to the conference is 549032. And if you want to get into the queue, it's *61. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up to you is because opportunity presents itself for a window of time. A window of time may be during that time that you hear about it. Some people say, well, you know, I'm going to do that later. And you know what? They forget all about it and they never take a chance, take advantage of that opportunity. And the sad part about that is that then they're down the line, they talk about, well, did you catch that show? And don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with it. But if you got a chance to take advantage of that opportunity, pick up the phone, make that call. Find out the information that you want to know firsthand. That way, you don't have to worry about who said what, because you'll know you found out for yourself. So, during the next half hour, I'm going to focus on some basic stuff of meditation. The reason why I had to set the first half hour off like this is because I wanted you to see where you were losing control. And that somebody, all of you at one point in that conversation, can see where you lost some control. And the reason being is because you said, oh, well, okay, if you want to. All right, well, if it's fine with you, it's fine with me. These are all of the phrases that literally lower you into a state of deception. And the reason being is because you may think you know someone well enough, but you may not really know about them well enough. So, you may think, okay, well, you'll make a good decision. Go ahead, whatever you decide to do, I'll do it. No. We have to examine, we have to evaluate, and we have to make decisions. And that has to be our responsibility. Because when it's not, and we give it to someone else, they may not respect your right as much as you do. And guess what? When you give it away, why should they? So, I'd like you to understand the importance of being able to identify your role in self so that you can see how being involved you can make decisions that are most suitable for you in every circumstance. Because I may love you a lot, but if you like red roses and I bought you yellow, you may appreciate the rose, but not the connotation. Okay, so we're going to come into a commercial, and then when we come back, we'll get right on the concepts of meditation and why. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call. And once again, we want to send our regards out to Black Talk Radio.
Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
You may find there are times when I hit the mute on my phone, and that's because I'm dealing with a cough here, and I'm trying not to relay that to you in what we discussed tonight, because literally this is one of the times in which I came back to an area that has mixed seasons. So at one point it may be winter, then you wake up tomorrow and maybe summer. So in trying to find my zone, I might have gone out and worked out and sweated a little too much on what was considered to be a cold day, and before you know it, you're subject to things. So I got a cough, and this cough has been on me for about 2 days now. That's why I didn't do the show yesterday, because the cough was worse yesterday. All right, so let's get back to meditation. First of all, let's look at some of the benefits. Well, what's the benefit? How am I going to benefit? Well, first of all, meditation can lower your blood pressure. So if you have a blood pressure problem, you have an actual way of controlling it. It improves your blood circulation. It lowers your heart rate. People even perspire less. What's interesting about this is that these are things that are just byproducts of it, okay? It slows your respiratory rate, cuts down on your anxiety, it lowers your blood cholesterol levels, and that can be a very positive thing for those who have problems there. You have a better feeling of well-being and less stress. You have a deeper aspect of relaxation. Now, what is a deeper aspect of relaxation? Well, when you begin to understand your peace, you learn how to enjoy your peace. And when you learn how to enjoy your peace, the more you do or receive that level of peace, the more you'll become deeper involved in your relaxation. And then literally, when you become very good at this, you'll find it is an excellent way of relaxing. But people always get caught up in little things. And now I can't get focused on everything else. You have to continue this process on a daily basis in order for you to find areas of function. Now, the reason I say areas of function is because there are things going on in your family bloodline that you may have no idea that will be exposed to through meditation. And the reason being is because you put yourself in a position to receive what is called transcendental messages through meditation. Now, some people have no idea what to do with those messages, but that's what makes meditation so important, because it gives you a chance that when you come out of that meditation, where you could literally take a journal and start journalizing what it is that you've grown in, what it is that you feel that you've learned in that meditation. And through your journals, you can open up your consciousness to your unconscious. Now, am I saying that you're going to be able to do amazing things? That potential is there. And the reason why it's there is because of the fear of what you may learn. Well, it is a fear. Make no mistake. If, for you who don't know, the African American footprint is in every continent of the world. Even they're finding statues in Japan that were dug up of samurais who have nothing but black features. And one of the older proverbs in Japan is that in order to be a great samurai, you must have a little black blood in. China, they're digging up statues over there now with statues of Chinese people with black features. So these are not anomalies, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what's interesting about those? Those are the countries that practice meditation as originally brought out of Africa with the explorers of the Moors. And this is there's another group of blacks that were very well-known world travelers other than the Moors. I just can't think of the group of them, the name of the tribes right now, but they imported a lot of their natural ways of life wherever they go. Because understand what I said, we're spiritual people. Now, when I say we're spiritual people, that has nothing to do with religion. Let me make that very clear. Because most people who are religious people, they think of that as being spiritual. Well, no, it's not. You see, religion was given to you. You're born with spirit. You have to accept religion. But there's no choice about that with spiritualism. You see, the choice is whether you want to awake that spiritualism or not. If you decide to awake that spiritualism, then you're moving out of your animal stage. Absolutely. You're moving out of your animal stage and you're moving into your reptilian stage. When you're identifying that you need something different. Now, a lot of you may not have heard these kind of terms before, and that's fine. You can look them up. But that means that you reach the point of your life and what you have done so much with so many and so many times that you have reached the stage where you want to do something different. You can't afford to continue to live a certain way. And that's not unusual for a lot of people. And the reason why it's not unusual for a lot of people is because you look at the world the way it is today. There's a lot of things you see going on today you would not have fathomed that would happen when you were that age. Or that you're going to be doing that you can see yourself sitting in. And when I say doing, I mean, as your mind evolves, a lot of times you do things because of the group. Would you choose to do that had you known it up front? Probably not. But in reality, things happen. There are many different techniques of meditation. This meditation should become a daily practice. Okay. I say it like that because a lot of people think, well, I got to devote so much time. No. Because I'm going to tell you now, you could devote 10, 15 minutes a day to whatever it is that you do, go to gym, eat or whatever. And that only teaches you to do whatever it is you do. Meditation evolves you. Okay. And there's cultivating the passion for meditation will take a course of itself as you begin to be focused on that 15 or 20 minutes a day. Because it grows on you. I started out with 15 minutes a day. Some days I'm up to an hour, hour and a half, because I'm finding myself so comfortable there, and my personal growth process is enhanced so much in that time. So what I try to do is, I try to do as early in the day as I can, so that I have control of time as much as I can. There are walking meditations. Oh yeah. There's different ways that you breathe while you walk. And which it will put you into a state of your independent thought process outside of your body. And this meditation works very well, especially for long distance runners, because they are in a state which that meditation lifts them to another level of athletic competition. And the benefits will speak for themselves. The requirement is minimal. But you got to be willing to make the requirement. And once you do, you'll find that everybody around you, as well as you, will benefit from the positive effects. Even your brain. Well, absolutely. It has positive effects on the brains and the immune functions of the body. because now your body's beginning to realize that you're trying to reach the common ground, that so-called rhythmic point in which your whole body functions in reference to the balance. See, a lot of people fail to realize that their bodies are run on automatic. To them, they just expect it. I mean, you expect to be, you feel thirsty when you're thirsty, but you may not realize that you have a headache. It may be because of the lack of water in your body, but your body's trying to communicate with you. But until you open that door to communication, you're going to be slow to understand that unless you find it out through some other process. And there are other processes, but they're not going to be as functional as meditation, because once you learn your body, you can do things with your body you were told were impossible. And, you know, the sad part about that is that, once again, I come back to, why did they feel so important to tell me what I could not do instead of giving me an understanding of what I could do? But if they were afraid of what you were able to do, if you realized what you could do, you could literally put the fear in them. And see, one thing about fear, it doesn't work when you don't have it. Let me repeat myself. One of the things about fear is that it doesn't work when you don't have it. See, that's why there's so many wars. Because they always want you to think there's a boogeyman at your door. Well, see, we've learned, as being Africans in America, that the boogeyman come next to a neighbor. And if he can understand the role he plays, then we can understand the role we play. All he has to do is look at it from a humanistic standpoint. They're quick to say, oh, we're all the same, but they don't treat us that way. So this is why meditation is another avenue for us to grow beyond our circumstances. And I'm going to tell you, as you grow, people are going to look at you and say, wow, you've changed. What are you doing now? Because what you clean up on the inside is transforming on the outside. Let me repeat that. What you clean up on the inside is transforming on the outside. Because, see, your outside begins to benefit from the experience of meditation. And a perfect example is eating. Do you know that all over the world, they call America a greedy country? They don't know it, but they only judge us by what they see. They come over here and see the TV, all they see is supersized, value meal, stack it up. Then they walk down the street and see people weighing 1.5 and twice as much as they weigh. What would you think? I mean, almost to them, most countries in America look like everybody got a car. It really does, because in most countries you go to, there are people who, whole families who don't have any cars. And when I say whole families, I mean all 7 brothers and sisters, and each one of them 5 and 6 or 7 children, none of them got cars. But in America, they look at America as if America possessed all there is to have and more. And in many ways, they're right. But see, Americans have gotten away from who self is. And they fall victim to the bottom line. So if the bottom line is today, we're going to go out and we're going to go to a Trump rally. And we're going to watch people be bullied verbally and physically and do nothing. And then see how the world sees Americans. A lot of people fail to realize that has nothing to do with Jews and Americans. That's just what was going on there. When we meditate, we take the time to find a comfortable spot, preferably one with no noise. Now, the reason why I say one with no noise is because that way your solitude or won't be disturbed. And see, that's the main objective. So that when you get in to your meditation, you're not disturbed. You want to be able to get into it flowingly. You can start sitting in a chair. A lot of people, when I say that, they say, well, I thought you do it before you do. You can. A lot of people do stuff that way. They get into a lotus position and they sit on the floor. Well, I still fight with the lotus position. It doesn't mean I'll never get there. That means that right now, in my meditation, I just haven't gotten there yet. Do I meditate on the floor? Absolutely. And the reason why I meditate on the floor is because it represents earth. There's always a purpose behind what you do in meditation. Okay, well, say that you meditate and you want to start in your chair. You want to sit with your back erect. You want to put your hands. You want to put your hands flat on your, over your knees, on your legs, over your knees. You want your head to be in a straight, erect position. So that your spinal cord is straight. Now, in any meditation, remember the basic rule. Your posture is going to be where your relaxation starts. So if you have good posture, whether you're on the floor or in a chair, you're going to have an easier time in approaching those levels of meditation that you want to achieve. Okay? Now, there's several different breathing methods. I first started out meditating. I did what's called long, slow breaths. Now, the reason why I did long, slow breaths is because it was where I was in control. Okay. So I'd breathe in. I'd hold it for about 2 seconds, and I'd let it out. I'd breathe in slowly. Hold it for about 2 seconds. I'd let it out. Now, the reason being is because when you bring in that fresh oxygen, your whole body is depending on the quality of the oxygen in that intake air. So what all of the chromosomes and enzymes are doing is grabbing that oxygen out of that air that you breathed in, and they're taking it to different parts of your body. Now, you know, I'm quite sure you've all heard of the term chakras. Okay, the body has 7 chakras. Well, some people say more, but we're going to start with the basics. It has 7 chakras. And each one of these chakras has a meridian around it. Now, what is a meridian? A meridian is a cycle of fluids that flow around the chakra and give it all its nutritional needs. So when you breathe in, the meridians are pulling oxygen out of that, fresh oxygen out of that intake, and it's feeding it into the chakra. This way, the chakra becomes what they call heated. When the chakra becomes heated, and you become to feel a point where you can find comfort in that, and what that heat is doing is that's a healing heat. That heat is circling all around that chakra to keep it healthy and malleable. Now, what does malleable mean? Malleable means that you could be able to tap into that chakra in order to receive the energy that it has. Now, when your chakras are lined up and all of them are malleable, it produces what is called a kundalini energy. The kundalini energy literally is our way of expanding ourselves to be greater than our minds. Now, the fear of the kundalini energy is that the kundalini energy also passes through the pituitary gland, which makes melanin, and the pineal gland, which is your direct connection with your spiritual self. Now, that is a uniqueness about being human. But what is even more unique is that being people of color, we absorb the sunlight. And that means that that sunlight hits our body and it transforms in our body to what we need. We can actually, through meditation, direct the power of that sunlight in the body. And a lot of people will never tell you these things. And the reason why is because in the Western world, it's a fear. And the only reason why it's a fear is because we don't share it. And understand how I said that. We don't share it. And the reason why we don't share it is because it is us. It is self. But self, well, 50 other selves, we get together and concentrate through meditation on one principle, can literally transform that principle on many, many levels. It is also said that the pyramids were built using this type of technology. So you see the role that it plays. So now let's get back to just the breathing aspect of it. To be able to breathe deep, hold it for 2 seconds, feel your body relax, and let it out. Don't rush your breathing. You're going to have a problem with that in the beginning. Because you're teaching your body to do something new, your body has to learn the process. And believe me, it's a very simple process because meditation is based on simplicity. But it's transforming you from the self you know to the spiritual self you are. And let me repeat that. Is transforming you from the self you know to the spiritual self you are. What's so unique about that is that then you will approach the level of true self. Now, for you to understand that, you should really go through the process. And the reason why I'm giving it to you like this is because you're going to see this. You're going to feel, wow, I just feel great. Well, the reason why you feel like that is because you're starting to become identified to your true self. You're no longer being physically contained by words. One of the true things you're going to find out is that as you begin to feel this way, you're going to want it more and more. But getting back to the meditation. You want to keep your timing on your breathing as close to balance as possible. And the reason being is because you want to feel your body relax because of the breathing. And you will. You want to feel your body rise. When you inhale, you'll feel your chest expanding. Sometimes as you develop, you won't feel your chest expanding. You'll feel the expanding in the abdomen. And you'll push out and push in. But the whole thing is to get your lungs full of air, fresh oxygen. Count through that 2 seconds, and then slowly let it back out. Now, the reason why you want to slowly let it in and slowly let it out is so that you can begin to attain control. What do I mean by attain control? That means that when you reach a point in which you are totally controlled of how fast your air is going in, how fast it's going out, the balance of your practice, and you're ready to go to the next level. What is the next level? You slow your breathing down, inhale. You take it twice as long to get it in. You hold it for 2, and if you can, 4 seconds. And then you let it out. So you're lowering yourself into a different level every time you grow physically. You see, every physical challenge is attributed to spiritual growth. And they will not tell you this. And the reason being is because they don't really want you to grow to a point in which you're out of their control, which can very well happen. I also want you to keep in mind that one of the major things that plays a role in how well you do your practice is your eating habits. If you're eating foods that are not conducive to a healthy body, then you're going to get those sort of results because those foods don't supply the nutrition that are needed for you to be able to sustain a constant rhythmic breathing and balance. Now, some people say, well, does that mean I got to change the way I eat? Well, in reality, some will. Because literally, the diets that we're eating here are not the diets that we should be eating. I won't go into that because literally, it's once again, these are your decisions. I'm just leading you to the doorway. Only you can go through it. I had, when I was met with the challenge, but when I was met with the challenge, I was fortunate because I had a wife coming from an entirely different perspective. And she was like, did you read what's in this? Did you see what's happening here? Did you hear that story? And she was making me aware of the things that was happening beyond my control. But she was also giving me an insight into what is within my control. So when I examined what was within my control, I had to examine what it is I need. So when I started examining what it is I need, I realized, you know what? There is other food sources that are available to me that serve me and my purpose on a greater level. And so those are the choices we made. So you're going to face those points in which you got to make those decisions too. Always consider this. If it's the most simplistic way, that's the way you should choose. Now the reason being is because we all would like to have steak and salad and nice big baked potato. But in reality, our systems are not designed. And I know it's probably coming to a shock to many of you, but no, they are not designed. The animals that eat other animals, they have a 2 to 3 foot digestive system. Our digestive system may be 40 feet long. So that means that we don't have the enzymes in our system to do what animals who eat meat do in their digestive system. So in turn, you may enjoy the taste because that's how most things are sold, by taste. But the process is a stress for your body. Now, I'm very, very opinionated when I told you the process is a stress to your body. And there's a reason for that. And I'm going to tell you after the break. Would you listen to Tandle Radio? And I'm encouraging everyone, please, if you have any questions, do call. And when you call in, you give us a chance to be able to answer the very questions that you may have. You can open the door to your understanding. So don't hesitate to give us a call here at Tandle Radio. And the number at Tandle Radio is, thank you. Okay.
The Tandle Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tandle Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit star 61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network. Brother Davis, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Back, brothers and sisters. Told you before the break that we're going to discuss another avenue of the benefits of meditation. And one of those avenues of the benefit is stress. And that's why I pointed stress out at the point around this time, because I wanted people to understand that all disease that starts in the body really starts with your food. But it's perpetuated through stress. See, anytime your body is under stress, the stress may be psychological, but it takes a physical form. So I'm telling you this because I want you to understand that the connection between mind and body is always there. It's a metaphysical connection that literally they don't want to talk about because it takes away from the power of the Food and Drug Administration. Now, what power is that? Well, what if you decided that you didn't want to go out and buy medicine no more because you could literally repair your body through meditation, which is another avenue of healing, and they know that. And a lot of times they sit back and say, well, if they don't know about it, then they'll come to us. That is true. And that's what most people do. They run to a doctor. And the sad part about that is that a doctor is only, he's a practicer, a practitioner of medicine. And what does that mean? That means that there are drug stores, major drug companies that come to him and say, look, you got somebody with high blood pressure, give them this. This works for them very well. Then you give it to them. You make notes on how it affects them, and then you give us feedback, and we'll make sure that you get more drugs. Oh, and by the way, we'll have your junkets every year you can go to, which will come back with some money in your pocket. Now, what would you do? The reality is they're in the business to make money, too. So that's the practice they take on. The sad part about it is that the person who is sick may have gotten sick because of one of two things, food or stress. That's it. Do you know a person who's dead body, their body is almost 100% active? But a person who is alive, their body is almost 100% alkaline. So what do you want to do? Do you want to eat a diet that's full of acid? Or do you want to eat a diet that gives your system alkaline? These are choices that we make. That's why I said you'll be faced with a lot of choices. Meditation opens your world to understanding that you can do things for yourself and live longer by making a few changes. I've had to make them. And I don't regret them. You see, that's the whole thing. In the beginning, okay, when you first make them, it's like, oh, wow, well, I want to do this. And the purpose of why I want to do it, that was served after I did it. Perfect example was the steak I told you about. I was bought up on steak. I had a sacred part of my diet was steak. But when I did my due diligence and I found out that our systems wasn't designed to consume steak and that the agony that we received later that day or the next day came from the digestion of that steak, because a lot of times it just stays in your system up there to days. Then I began to wonder, how can I avoid this? What can I do? Then all of a sudden, you're hearing a lot of other things on the side that you're not going to go into, because some people choose to live their life as steak is an attribute. That's fine. But I've had people come up to me and say, well, what do you do for protein? There's a lot of things you can do for protein. Food has protein. Okay? And as you begin to develop yourself, you're going to sort of realize that when you cut certain things out, it gives you more freedom in meditation. Because they said blockages in your body, not consensual blockages. when I say conventional laxatives, it doesn't, when you eat it, it doesn't go in to block these things up. What it does is it goes through a natural process in your body and it clogs your body up. Okay, and then it clogs your body up and you really can't achieve what you want to achieve on the level that you want to achieve. That's why you see a lot of these people who have resources, a lot of them are heavy because they consume these sort of foods and they don't look at themselves as being a victim of the philosophies of the United States. They look at themselves as being, well, I'm living my life. I got the good life. I can do this. And then the next thing you know, they're having a heart attack as well as me. Well, in meditation, you will be exposed to the true self, the real self. When you achieve that, then you are on what's called the divine path. Yes. The divine path allows you to understand the essence of your spirit in your everyday form. And a lot of people fail to realize it. The reward in this life is to reach the divine path and expand who you are as a human from being a human to the next level. You become a divine being. So no longer are you caught in the realms or the controls of ordinary life. You become evolved beyond it. And as you move beyond it, you begin to realize there is something greater, something better that is available. And as you begin to realize that, you begin to understand that everybody that is born human has it available to them. That's right. But if you don't evolve to that, many people die before they get there. And you've seen them. These young boys down the street, they never evolved to that. These young mothers out here having 3 and 4 kids, they never evolved to that. These young brothers out here who think that they can go out here and lay up with anybody they want to have as many kids, they haven't evolved to that. So therefore, they become physical victims of the psychological farm. Now, what are physical victims of the psychological farm? Well, psychology is being operated on us every day. That's right. You're being programmed. You're literally being victimized by the fact that you don't know. So what I'm saying to you is, even though you don't know, you still have a certain degree of responsibility. In that degree of responsibility, you have to take control. I try to tell young people nowadays that your body and mind has not developed until you're about 22, 23 years old. And if you wait to that point, you'll be able to make better decisions. And most people who do wait to that point do make better decisions. But because Westernism teaches you on TV, on the radio, on videos, that if you got it flaunted, then it teaches you that if you want it, if it feels good, do it. Come on. These are all of the wrong signals. These are the reasons why our children in ancient days were taught how to meditate by the time they could walk, by example. I mean, you think about it. They all sleeping in a tent. You wake up one morning, you look around, everybody's sitting in a quiet position, not saying nothing. So as you evolve, you're going to do the same thing. And then you're going to start asking questions. Well, why do you wake up and sit in that quiet position and don't say anything? And they tell you, well, we're examining ourselves. We're examining ourselves. Yes, we are examining ourselves for what we can contribute today. And at night, we evaluate ourselves. We evaluate ourselves and see how we contributed during the day. You think about that. That is spirituality on the surface level. That's why I said it was a way of life. That's why they had to come up with a concept like religion. See, religion teaches them that all you got to do is have faith. Spirituality teaches you Your faith doesn't go where your spirit can go. But if you have faith, you have to have faith in something outside of you. Spirituality teaches you that you can have what you want inside of you as a part of who you are. And these are the roles that they play. Now, I'm not discouraging anybody who wants to be religious. That's fine. Because a lot of people find that it gives them what they want. But on reality, and on the other hand, when you grow to your spiritual self, you get a greater part of the whole, because now you literally can go into meditation and get answers to questions that you never thought you could have an opportunity to get. Okay? Interestingly enough, as you practice and you become more self-aware, you're going to see so much destruction in your neighborhood from the moment you walk out the door. Because you begin to focus on you, those things become prevalent to you. Now, I'm not saying you should be the oracle to other people's lives. No. Always remember that we are all the same. We all possess the same things. We all must put our pants on one leg at a time. There's nothing different about us. What makes us different is, are we waking up to our spiritual selves and evolving to be more than we're taught we can be? Or are we at a point in our lives where we're comfortable where we are? We like where we are. Because see, when you're at a point when you're comfortable where you are and you like where you are, literally what you're saying to yourself is that even if I died here, I wouldn't hurt my feelings. And see, we don't want to talk like that. Because remember now, we come from the time of deception. There are people right now who think they'll never die. Absolutely. But there are also people right now who do the things to live as long as they can. And that's what meditation does. It's one of the many tools you can use to live as long as you can. Understand what I said. No one lives forever. But it's a tool that you can use to live as long as you can. And the quality of life that you can live is enhanced through your meditational practices. One of the things I really want to point out to you is that life gets better. It gets so much better. I'm going to tell you, when I really began to meditate and everything, even when I look at my wife, I sometimes find myself staring at her. And it's not because she's just an attractive woman, no. I mean, the attributes that come with the type of woman she is. I lucked out, personally, and I hope you all feel that way. But when I got to meditate and I began to realize all the attributes that come as a woman, and you see, in reality, there can be no humanity without women. That's something on a totally different level I won't go into right now, but to be able to embrace someone that you sincerely love, that is your opposite sex, it literally helps you as well as shows you. Now, what does that mean? And sometimes she shows me things I might not see. And she'll say, you know what, baby, maybe you better watch out for that person. Now, she may not go into a lot of detail, but that may be all I need. We have this thing when we're in places and we're talking, and if I'm saying something, she goes, wow. Well, that means watch our words. So when I get a chance, I'll pull her aside and I'll say, well, darling, what did you say wow for then? And she might say, well, did you see so-and-so's reaction to what you said? I believe she's gravitating in a different way. See, that's a heads up. See, this is the essence of what marriage is about. But until you evolve to that, you really can't grasp it. And the reason why you can't grasp it is because of all the other things that are out there that are taking your attention. And I mean taking your attention from one side to the left, to the far side to the right. For example, what happened there? What happened? Was it the day where the bomb went off over in Belgium or Belgrade? See? And the sad part about that is that people are going through a fear factor, and they fail to realize this is the call could have all been staged by the very people that want them to live in fear. Fear is the greatest stress you can live in. Because if you live in fear, that means you're in fear all the time. And that will be a disease to you because it will cause stress. If you have stress, believe me, you are cultivating disease that can start anywhere in your body. Anywhere. And the sad part about it is that a lot of people don't even see stress as stress. Oh, this is just how it is. No, it ain't not how it is. You ain't got to put up with that. If you choose to, that's another thing. But you ain't got to put up with that. We have to see our circumstances as what we could do to make them better. And the sad part about that is that we are taught that emotions are what we literally cling to. But it's not. They'll tell you we're emotional people, but we're not. If someone tells you something over and over again, you begin to believe it. And that's why they do it. So therefore, when somebody, young brother gets caught up and he's confronted by a cop and he gets emotional and that cop shoots him, you know what the cop says? Well, I feared for my life. But he didn't have a gun. No, he didn't have a gun, but he was emotional. Are y'all getting this? You see, my main reason in meditation is so that I can move beyond my circumstance. And I'm giving it to you that if you don't have to choose the meditation I give you, you can go out and seek someone who's meditating or who has an aspect of meditation, and you can work with them. As long as you're meditating, you will open up doors to your understanding that have always been available, but you could not see. And then when you do see, you're going to be like, oh, wow. There's a lot of people out here that are very self-deprecating. They'll do things that defile themselves on a daily basis for that money. They never get a chance to examine the spirit of the person inside that shell. Because the mentality is on an animalistic level. Can we all evolve? Absolutely we can. And if we take the time, we can evolve far beyond our circumstance. Now, are these people going to operate in this crazy plan that they're doing in reference to trying to change the world? Oh, yeah, they are. They absolutely are. But can we disassociate and separate? Absolutely. But we have to do it in a manner in which the transformation process doesn't devalue who we are. Because believe me, when you see what you've been able to accomplish, and other people see it, they want to know how you do it. And they will pay you for it. And a lot of times people fail to realize about good health, good behavior and evil behavior. And we must call evil for what it is. Because there is good and there is evil. And everything that I've told you about meditation is good. But is there people out there doing meditation for evil? Absolutely. Should you be afraid of that? No, you shouldn't. Because once again, it only affects their life. It affects your life if you believe them. But it only affects their life. I'm the old school. I'm going to start with me, stay with me. When I see that I got to expand, I'm going to expand with like-minded people. That's it. Is that hard to do? No, not really. And the reason why it ain't hard to do is because what I'm trying to achieve it for me and my family, because I have to be the example. And as they evolve and they see things like my onk and my beads around my neck and they start asking questions, I answer it. Because it gives them a greater purpose. After God did it, and they've seen it, when they begin to see how the world works, they're going to incorporate what they see me do. And the reason being is because most of the reasons why I do it are available in my house. So they can come and read and learn and get first-hand information. And if they want to, we can do some meditation together. But always remember this. Not everybody is doing what they do for the best interest of everybody else. Everybody has a reason for doing what they do, and not every reason is a good reason. But it's their reason. And you must always learn to respect their reason. Although you may have to do battle with it head on, you still gotta respect it. At this stage of the game, a lot of people fail to realize that this life was not given to you for nothing. There's a purpose here. If we evolve while we're here, what is evolved? If we take and put our time in a divisive way, and understand how to say that, in a divisive way, so that it can be a tool for our spiritual growth here, then we will transform to a higher level in the next life. Why? Because we will have learned from this life and have no reason to reject. Absolutely. Well, people tell you all the time, well, heaven and hell, you create heaven and hell right here on earth. Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Don't believe that heaven is up above and hell is below. Of course, if that's what your philosophy is, that's fine for you. But when you really examine, you can find that you create your heaven and hell right here on earth. And you can do something about it when you're ready. Because now you have the basic tools to go out there, find a meditation group, and get with like-minded people. And then when you find the path that you want to follow with your meditation, and there are many, and always beware to ask the three questions. One, what is the purpose? Two, what is the result? And three, how do I measure my growth? A good meditation will be able to answer those questions. You can't ask that in a religious areas because you know what? They don't have an answer. You say, what is the purpose? They'll give you a purpose. What is the method? They'll give you a method. To what degree is my growth? They'll never give you that. The reason why they'll never give you the degree of your growth is they have no measurement. And to them, I mean, a lot of these churches now, the degree of your growth is determined by the size of your giving, which is sad. Which is very sad. So, I always tell people to make sure that you have an understanding of that up front, because that way you'll know if you're on a path that's going to take you to where you want to go. And if you do, then you can find comfort in it because all of those basic things have been met. And then, as you go along that path, you're going to see some things that you're going to like and some you're not going to like. That's what growing spiritually is. Whenever you reach a challenge in your life, you're growing spiritually. And sometimes the challenges that you reach, you may not understand until you're in them. And that's fine. You'll hear points in which I don't say anything. Well, I'm, like I said before, I'm muting because I got a cough. And I've been dealing with this for a couple of days now, and I'm basically on the back end of it. But last night it was overwhelming, so I couldn't do the show at all. But tonight it's bearable, and when I hit my mute like that, it gets all quiet and you don't hear nothing. I'm getting that cough out. But one of the main reasons why I'm opening this door to meditation is because I want people to understand you have other options. And these options may not be right for you right now, But if you know what they are, at least you know they're available to you. One of the main things I have to tell you, Peter, when I started my path, I did a lot of heavy reading, a lot of heavy reading. And I found out later I didn't have to, but I was glad I did, because it opened my doors to, it opened doors to a lot of the old Egyptian teachings. And I was glad of that, because I really got a facsimile. Understand how I said that? A facsimile of what our people were going through at that time, and how blessed it must have been to live at a time where there was no major wars in the world, no confrontations, and those that were basically built on trade, or maybe there was a herder whose goats was at someone else's well, that sort of thing. But these are things that literally can be taken care of through conversation. But today, and I don't quite understand why we can't, as men, sit down at the table and find common ground. But the greed is so enhanced now. The greed of man is so enhanced now that we fail to realize that it is what is changing our world as we know it. I'd like to remind you that beyond this show, there's a show coming up that you may want to definitely make part of your programming, because the title and the content is going to be something that you can identify with. So definitely keep it tuned on Black Talk Radio. We're about to go to a break, and at the end of this break, I really would like to implore you to do call in. Call in at 641-715-3660. And if you want to get in the queue, it's 561. And at this time, I want you to also understand that there's many different forms and mediums of meditation. You do your due diligence. You just don't go out and jump into something because your friend is. Because, you know, I've seen that happen many a time when people come to town, and they may be in a certain fraternity or a certain sorority, and their sorority sisters, and so they gravitate to different churches. And all of a sudden, that's because they have this ego where they feel like they can run it. And I've seen this all over. And so what really gets me is, when is the spirituality going to come out and work for the individual? But it never does, because those people have a plan. So that could very well happen anywhere. That's why it's so important that you do your due diligence, so you know you're not getting caught up in somebody else's clique. Because what you do in meditation, you want to do for you. And you want to grow by your time. You don't want to be victimized, because there's a lot of victims out there. Can you be victimized by meditation? If you meditate on the negative things, absolutely. Negativity is evil. They just give it different titles. But in reality, evil doesn't change. Some people say good and bad. Evil doesn't change. So after the break, we're going to move this forward into understanding how to identify things in the spirit realm. When I say spirit realm, I mean in your daily lives. What you're doing, how your mind works in conjunction to what you're trying to achieve in your meditation, and how to identify when it produces fruit in your life. And it will produce fruit in your life. One of the unique things about it is that when you do it and you begin to see these things, and it's simple, maybe something simple as, say I need a different ride to work because my rider is just acting up. Well, you'd be surprised. I've seen bus routes get altered to be fitting to the person. Or somebody else comes out the woodwork and gets a job there that lives right down the street. A lot of things can happen, but you have to be able to operate on the level of your meditation bringing it forth. Because a lot of things is happening right now. But you don't think it concerns you. It does. It's just that you have been void from the process. When you step back into your being and you go into your true self, you realize how to identify and work the process. Because that's what it is you're doing. Thank you.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound, 549-032-pound. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Brother Scott, did we get any calls? Okay, well, let me open the door up to...
No, sir,
what
we
they
don't.
Call. Okay, thank you. Let me open the door up to what they call right knowledge. Because people are going to ask you different questions. Okay, now, self is the indwelling intelligence. Okay, so when people ask you, well, what is your, how do you meditate? See, I'm getting in touch with my indweller, myself, my indwelled intelligence. Because see, we have an outside intelligence, but we have a greater intelligence on the inside. And a lot of times people say, well, what is the need for that? Well, the need for that is so that we can operate all of our systems in harmony with the universe. And that's called being cosmological divine. Cosmologically divine. Cosmologically means the universe, and divine is the path of which we want to achieve. Okay? Now, the reason why you're trying to do these things is because really, what you do in your meditation, you're going to be connected directly with the universe. And the universal law says all living things are connected. All living things are connected. So the sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, the trees, the animals, we're all connected. We're taught fear. Now, think about that for a minute. If we're all connected, what is the purpose of teaching fear? Well, the purpose of teaching fear is so that you can become leveraged because of what you fear. You will submit so that you don't have to fear it. That's the purpose of teaching fear. I find many times when I had stages of fear, I was put in places I didn't want to be in. Some people would say, fear is a good thing. Fear is a healthy thing. Well, I guess you could say that if you were put in a stage where fear could work to your advantage. But fear never works to your advantage. Fear is just what you would operate in that circumstance. When you don't have fear, you open up more doors. And the reason why you open up more doors is because you're willing to ask the questions. If you walk down the street and you say, good morning to somebody, and they say nothing, what's that next thought? That ain't a pleasant one in most cases. But when you learn to walk down the street and the person says nothing after you speak to them, you have to teach yourself to say, oh, well, they're not having as good a day as I am. You process it differently. You see, I have this way of speaking in which when anybody asks me how am I, I'm superb, I'm great. And that literally translates in my life. Well, they had doors open to me to them. Ordinarily wouldn't be open. And you know, the sad part about that is that a lot of times I did not know what I was doing. You know what's sad about it? It's because I was operating in a spiritual principle and didn't realize it until I evolved to understand it. So that's literally what's going to happen to many of y'all. You're going to be operating in spiritual principles. You're not going to realize it. And then when you evolve to understand it, you're going to be like, wow, you know what? That's why these things have been happening. I've been doing this all the time. lately my wife and I have been it appears like we're going out. My brother hit me up on Facebook. He's like, y'all having a good time up here. But he doesn't know that a lot of these circumstances just kind of fell in our lap. With minimal investment, I mean, opportunity presented itself. So we said, well, okay. Now, I could see where I'm starting to evolve beyond a certain degree of entertainment now. I could see now where I've been saying to my wife, you know, I like that cold beer at the end of the day. No, I think I got to get rid of that. And she said, okay. But see, that's how the process starts. You begin to identify what you want to do and get rid of. Eventually, you evolve and you're there. Because once you begin to identify and notice, it may not happen right away. Because I'm communicating with my subconscious so that my realization to my conscious will come to light. So I'm actually working directly in the process. We've already stopped eating meat. So we literally took that course of action. And it wasn't something we just did overnight. No, it was a process. But through information she was coming across and through the information I was coming across, we knew we had to do something. So, and us doing something, we decided, you know what? We don't need to have this stress. The stress of not knowing whether the food that I'm eating has worms in it or E. coli or something like that. I mean, we just eliminated it so that we can move beyond it. Now, when I sit down at the table and I look at her, we talk about a whole lot of different things. Is there intensity in some of our conversation? Absolutely. You're not disconnected from the world. But we have a greater appreciation for each other and our relationship. We understand the rewards clearer now, let's say that. So as you begin to take this path, you're gonna see it in your children too. Especially if you have small children, because if they see you doing that, they're gonna want to participate. We have a friend, and she meditates in front of her son. He must be seven or eight. And now she said he looks forward to meditating. I looked at her and said, girl, you don't know how good that makes me feel. She said, oh yeah, he'll tell me. Come on, mom, let's meditate. She said, sometimes he reminds her. So you see, there is definitely a method to the source. The method is to be able to get our children to live where our ancestors lived, even although we didn't have an understanding of that when we were their age. You know what? Our ancestors lived the old 100, 150. That was not unusual. Not at all. And the sad part about that is that we have taken on all of these new concepts of eating, and guess what? Now, our so-called estimated time of life on Earth is what, 68 years? 65? Well, it's going in reverse very fast. They're saying now that our children won't live to see us live as old, long as we live. We can do something about that. We just got to start the process. And I do believe that as we start this and we begin together, we hook up together, and we should, and we meditate together, and we should, we multiplicitize the power, and we can. The major thing that we must understand is that no one has any more gifts than the other. But our gifts become greater when we bring them together. That's right. We can achieve a whole lot more as a group than we can as an individual. So I'm imploring you to take your time, do your due diligence, remember the three questions, because if they can't tell you what the final result is, if they can't tell you if there's a way of measuring your progress, and if they can't tell you the purpose, then literally, they can't answer your questions. You need to know those things so that you can be able to measure yourself as you grow. If they can't give them to you, and I can tell you now, religion won't. But if they can't give them to you, they're going to tell you and discourage you in every way they can that you're on the wrong path. But then ask them one question. What does that do for me? And they'll be quiet. Because no one's asking them no questions. And you already know what meditation does for you. But you got to ask those questions so that those people will think. A lot of times they might just walk away from you, because guess what? That's a hard question to ask a religious person. What does religiosity do for me? Can't send you to hell, and it can't send you to heaven, because they're right here on earth. Think about it. I mean, if your energy in a shell as a spirit, literally, when your shell dies, your spirit transforms. So it's the heaven or the hell you create is right here. I'm not telling you what to do. All I'm saying is just look at it logically and ask the questions, and you'll make the decision that's suitable for you. And the reason why is because you wouldn't be in the situation to ask the questions if they weren't concerning. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I ask the question, because I know that somebody's watching me. Even if I don't see them behind me, I know they're watching. And if it's my grandchildren, if it's my daughter, if it's my son or my son-in-law, it doesn't make any difference. I don't want them to stumble where they could have ran. And the best part about that is that as they grow, if I'm blessed so much as to see it or be a part of it, the better yet. So I ask people to please call in and give us an opportunity to help them in their process. But that's all I can do is to ask you to give us an opportunity. Because literally, I'm going to tell you something. I'll get up tomorrow morning and I'll climb out of bed and I'll start my routine. And after I finish my routine, I may climb back in bed, I may not. And the reason why I do that is because it empowers me. It empowers me and it will empower you. But I do suggest that you do it for at least 28 days in a row. Try to do it 28 days in a row. And try to get some literature that's going to edify you. Because once I do my meditation, I like to read for about an hour or so. And begin to realize that we're transforming the human being into diamonds. We're beginning to now to see yourself much more clearer. You're taking your role as identifying your spiritual self. Seriously. And you will get the rewards. Believe me, I know. I know people who benefited immensely. One of the people who really opened my eyes to meditation is a friend of mine. He has a retreat. Gorgeous. Sits on maybe 150, 200 acres of land. He calls it a place where a spiritualist can come and relax. And he has all of the amenities of relaxing, tranquility, as well as you get nice organic meals. That's right, he has an organic garden right outside. Big pool, game room. There's a room full of acoustic sounding instruments. So if you're just in the mood, you can go. Acoustic sounding instruments will always enhance your natural vibration. That's what they're designed for. The acoustic sounding means no enhanced properties at all. It may be your hand in the drum or your instrument in the hand. But these things will open up your waves, your airways, your electromagnetic energies, your natural vibrations. You need to learn where your peace is. When you learn where your peace is, you will find joy. If you're always being in the race, you'll find no joy. And the reason being is because you're in the race. Don't get me wrong. It's some people that meditate, they live their life in the race. It's just that before they get in the race, they do the things that they know they need to do to enhance their ability to be who they want to be in that race. So I don't want you to get the impression, because, oh, you got to disconnect from the world. No, you don't. The world plays a major role in our lives, and a lot of times we don't see how clearly. But when you start meditating, you're going to see a whole lot more clearly. And you're going to wonder, how did this ever happen? Well, it didn't come to you and ask your opinion. Of course, if they did, that might be more useful than the road that they chose. But once again, my brothers and my sisters, meditation is a choice. I'm telling you, it'll be an armor. It will add to your armor. And I'm telling you that it will allow you to do some things that you will not be able to do otherwise. So even if you don't take this key right away, do know it's a key. Do know it's a key. And do tap into it at your leisure. I know some people, they'll wait maybe 2 or 3 months, and next thing they run across a book, oh, wow, I heard about this. Let me try it out. It'll make a difference how it happens. It truly doesn't make a difference how it happens. As long as when you do get that opportunity, you take full advantage of it. And if we're fortunate and it becomes a spiritual practice of yours, that's fine too. Because then that means you'll be growing more outwardly from your inward self. You see, society doesn't want you to identify this, and you're going to be able to see why. Because you're going to learn about things about yourself that you really are not. You're going to be hesitant to tell this. Because you know how society is. But if you happen to come across a unique skill set, and you operate that at your will, society can't always handle that kind of knowledge. Or handle the person with that kind of ability. But that's neither here nor there. Because I do want you to understand there's several different aspects of exercises you can do. I also do Tai Chi. You can also do Qigong. Which is another form of body movement. You can get instructions in different methods of meditation or mindfulness or relaxation. Just remember that what you're doing is for you. Do it for you. Learn the techniques that help you develop to be a better person for you. You can use yoga, Pilates, whatever is the form that best suits you. Meditation works for me. But let me tell you this. Everything that you learn that can help you can be a help to other people. And it would be only fair when you find something that gives you joy that you share. There's a lot of different groups out here. The Lotus Society has a group. There's the Mindful Awareness group. There's a lot of them. The Kappa Bhata, Kappa Puna, which is a Indian effort. But understand this. It's a freedom. No one can control you or no one can limit you. And one thing about meditation, it can become a daily exercise or a spiritual exercise. You can do what you want with it. And I'm telling you, every day, I look forward to it. And I was reluctant in the beginning. But when I begin to benefit by it, some days I wake up my wife and say, I feel great. I don't know what's going on. Then I hit the skids the last couple of days, though, because I got caught up in this cough. And it's like a mix between a cough and the flu. And so every once in a while you hear me shut the mic down so I can get my cough out.
You're feeling better.
But I am feeling better. And tomorrow I feel great again. I'll be back on the path. But I want to encourage everybody, take some time. Take some time to look at what you are, where you are, what you want, and how you want to get there. And ask yourself if meditation can be a part of that process. Because it's a unique way of getting some personal time that will benefit you in the long run. I do. And I benefit immensely. I can't even begin to tell you how much I benefit. And even my grandchildren. They get to climbing all over me. The joys are beyond compare. Sometimes my grandson and my son will say, you don't have to climb all grandpa like that. So, you know, let them go. I tell my children, let their kids do what they want. Because you know what? That's my joy. It may not seem to be much to other people, and that's fine. I don't tell people how to enjoy themselves. But that is my joy. And I don't mind sharing my joy. I don't mind sharing my joy with my grandchildren, minimally. Because the least that you're going to take with you is the memories of your grandchildren, because they are the newest ones. I don't teach them about good and evil. I teach them about choices. Because if you teach them about good and evil, you'll be exposing something to them before they're ready for it. You know what I mean? And the reason being is because either way it goes, they're going to have choices. I just want to be able to make the right one. I can't be there for them all. But if I give them a good foundation, I don't have to worry about the choices they make. Tell them to always be mindful, be in a state of mindfulness. Always try to find that time where you can just have for you and meditate. I'm really trying to, I have one granddaughter who's in gymnastics. I'm really trying to get to see her practice and everything, and her schedule gets crazy, my schedule gets crazy. So, I'll try to make that happen next week. I don't know, maybe this week, if she hasn't gone yet, but, you know, you're kind of under the weather, it kind of holds you back from doing things that you ordinarily do without thought anyway. Yes, you definitely need that personal time. But I definitely want to let you know that Tando Radio is going to be bringing meditation to you again from time to time so that we can help those who are seriously trying to incorporate that in their daily lives. They have a form of measurement where they can see where they are and how they begin to control their thought processes. And that's what it does. It helps you control your thought processes. So they could see how they're organizing their emotions, and that's what it does. It helps you organize your emotions so that you do not lose control of them. And the best part about it is that you control them. And so that they could have a measuring stick on their growth. Like I said, I do believe it's important for people to be able to see how well they're developing personally and the circumstances they're going through. And believe me, there's no better time to go through anything than when you're going through something and you need to meditate, because you open doors that you didn't think was available to you. And through those doors come some of the greatest gifts. So here at Tambo Radio, we like to extend once again. If you have any questions, you can always shoot it up to the Facebook site. That way we can go ahead and do a question and answer on the Facebook site if it need be. We prefer you to call in during the shows. Don't forget, do bless Black Talk Radio with whatever you can. Right now we're in the middle of a contribution season, and any kind of contributions will be a blessing to us. And the best part about that is that you will receive the fruit of that through shows like Tando Radio, I think, and other shows that they have right here on Black Talk Radio. And I suggest, during the course of the day, just turn on Black Talk Radio. One thing about Scotty, he got something on here that teaches something. If it's about history, it's been in history. It might even be interviews with prisoners of victims of, or shall we say, prisoners of a prison industrial complex. Or it could be issues that may be at your front door at any given time that need to be discussed. But our community is not staying focused, and they become the victims of this very this type of law path. And the reality is that in most cases we are. But don't kid yourself. You play a role, you have a purpose. We here at Tando Radio would like to help you where we can. And if we can, so. At this stage of the game, for you out there who want to further your knowledge in meditation, I suggest that you go to your local library. There's always good books on it there. Then examine what your parameters are before you go out seeking a service. And do your due diligence. We thank you for tuning in this evening. Each one of you brought grace to our time, and we hope we blessed you with the information that you received. And thank you very much for your time. And don't forget, Black Talk Radio is on the air 24/7. Peace. You
love is kind, love can give and get no gain.